Saram dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are now in chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini. In the previous episode, we were in the first segment of chapter 10. And today, as we move on, let's reflect on the deep concepts that Bhagwan has unveiled. In fact, this segment 10.2 is a heavier one. Bhagwan talks about some of the deeper spiritual truths, as well as he gives us glimpses of the divine mystery. All of this coming from the Creator, coming from someone who is the Supreme Consciousness, is a blessing. We cannot have anyone else giving us these secrets. When Bhagwan has revealed, we have to apply our mind, apply ourselves, and understand the significance of these messages, these secrets that Bhagwan has revealed, and then attune our lives accordingly so that we benefit the most of knowing Him, coming to Him, and leading a life that lives up to His message. So let's listen to what Bhagwan has given us in segment 10.2, chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini.
The reflection of Atma conditioned by Chit is Ishvara. Ishvara conditioned by Antakarana is the Jiva, is it not?
But what exactly is this Chidabhasa?
Chidabhasa means the I-awareness conditioned by the Chit. That one became three. The three became five. The five became many. The I-awareness or Sattva became three on account of contact with Rajas and Tamas. In those three, the five bhutas or elements arose. And through those five, the manifold happened. It is this that causes the illusion that the I is the body. Speaking in terms of Akasha, there are three: Chidakasham, Chittakasham, and Bhutakasham.
What is Chidakasham?
That is the Atma.
What is Chittakasham?
Its reflection, that is to say, Chittam. When that changes into Manas, Buddhi and Ahankaram, it is called Antakkaranam, a word which means the internal senses or the inner Indriyas. Chidabhasam, having the Antakkaranam, is the Jiva.
And what is Bhutakasham?
Chidakasham conditioned by Chittakasham. When it sees the elemental Akasham, that is the Bhutakasham, it is Mano Akasham. When it sees the object, the Vastu, it is Chinmaya. That is why, my dear fellow, it is said, the Manas alone is for man the cause for both bondage and liberation. The mind manufactures any amount of delusion.
How can the delusion disappear, Swami?
When you grasp its secret through inquiry, the many merge in five, the three in one, and the I exists as I. When you get a headache, you apply ointment. When it disappears, you are as you were. The delusion that I am the body is similar to this. It will disappear if you apply the ointment of vichara or inquiry.
Can everyone adopt this path of inquiry?
No, my boy. It is impossible for all. It is only for those whose chitta has become ripe.
Then what should we do to reach that ripe stage?
Now we have come to the place from which we started. Have we not got things like japam, dhyanam, puja and pranayama for this? Steadily through these, you become ripe and become capable of understanding the I by inquiry into reality. For such men, the Atma is not something different from themselves or yourself. All is Atman.
So that is what Bhagwan mentions in the second part of chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini. Bhagwan says the reflection of Atma conditioned by Chit is Ishwara. Ishwara conditioned by the Antakarana is the Jiva. Chit is a word that many of us are familiar with. Sat, Chit, Ananda, when we say Sat is truth, Chit is awareness. Chit, as Bhagwan says, is Chidabhasa. It means that I awareness. And Bhagwan is saying that this I awareness became three. And this three became five. And the five became many. So what is that one that became three? And what is that three that became five? And what is this five that multiplied into many? And Bhagwan says, the I awareness, sattva, became three on account of contact with rajas and tamas. In those three, the five bhutas or elements arose. And through those five, the manifold happened. In fact, this is something very, very profound where Bhagwan is giving us the mystery of creation. He's giving us a glimpse into how the creation happened. The creation is because of the three gunas. The three gunas which led to the formation of five elements. So the I awareness, that one single awareness, the only awareness of this universe, that universe became three, that consciousness, that awareness became three because of the three gunas, sattva, raja and tamas. And it is these gunas which formed later on the five elements, and because of the five elements we have the creation. In fact, I'm reminded of a beautiful video that I had seen in Chaitanya Jyoti Bhagwan's museum in Prashant Nilayam, the museum that carries the life and message of Bhagwan. In the initial part of the tour of Bhagwan's life in this museum, there is a video which talks about creation. From the Vedas, there are hymns which reveal what went into the process of creation. Let us listen to the audio of that video.
Om na sadasim no sadasit tadanim nasi drajo no vyoma paroyat kimavari vahkuhakasya sharmanna ambhakimasid gahananga bhiram.
Neither non-being nor being was as yet. Neither was airy space nor heavens beyond.
Na mrityurasi damritanna tarahi naratriya anha asit praketaha ani davatam swadhayatadekam tasmad dhanyanna parahkinchanasa.
Neither was there death nor immortality. nor was there any sign then of night or day. Totally windless, alone, the one breathed. Beyond that, indeed, nothing whatever was.
Om Atma va idameka eva agra asit nanyat kinjana mishat sa ikshata lokan sruja iti.
In the beginning, there was but the absolute self alone. Nothing else was. Brahman willed, let me create the worlds.
There was no one to know who I am till I created this world at my pleasure with one word.
Om Tasmadva etasmadatmana akashasambhutaha.
From Om, the five elements came to be. The first was space.
Akashad vayuhu.
From space came air.
Vayor agnihi.
From air came fire.
Agnerapaha.
From fire came water.
Adhyah prithivi.
From water came earth.
Immediately, mountains rose up. Immediately, rivers started running. Earth below, and sky over its head, oceans, seas, lands and watersheds, sun, moon and desert sands sprang up from nowhere. To prove my existence came all forms, beasts and birds flying, human beings, mankind, speaking, hearing, and all powers were bestowed upon them under my orders.
Imani cha khudra mishrani vabijani itarani chetarani cha andajani cha jarujani cha svedajani chodbhijani cha Ashwagava Purusha Hastinaha Yatkinchedam Prani Jangamancha Patatricha Yachasthavaram.
And Brahman too is all these creatures, large and small, that move upon the earth or fly above.
Sarvantat Prajnanetram Prajnane Pratishthitam.
The essence of all these is consciousness. Consciousness is Brahman.
The first place was granted to mankind, and my knowledge was placed in his mind. Come one, come all, let us not be ungrateful called. Let us faithfully serve him and love him, love him, love him.
So that is the video that you would have seen in Chaitanya Jyoti if you have had the chance to visit this museum. But in this little 5-minute video, very beautifully, the whole creation process was encapsulated And these are Bhagwan's own words. There was no one to know who I am till I created this world at my pleasure with one word. Bhagwan mentions and discourses how Om is the origin of the cosmos. It is from Om that all the creation process began, the gunas emerged, the gunas leading to the elements, and the elements leading to beings. And Bhagwan says, there came all forms of beings, beasts and birds, speaking, hearing, flying. All powers were bestowed upon them under my orders. But the first place was granted to mankind, and my knowledge was placed in his mind. If you read this chapter 10 of Sandhya Nivarani, the segment 10.2, Bhagwan is saying the eye awareness became three on account of contact with Rajas and Tamas. And in those three, the five bhutas or elements arose. And through these five, the entire creation happened. In fact, I'm reminded of the divine discourse that Bhagwan gave in Vrindavan way back in 1990. During the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. It was the 28th of May 1990, where Bhagwan explained in depth how this creation process happened. In fact, we have discussed about this earlier also in this series. We also had a video satsang called Divine Mysteries. And in that, visually, we try to communicate what Bhagwan has mentioned as the formation of the elements and the creation process. Bhagwan says how initially it was just the absolute, the sattvic guna. It was only sattva because God is absolutely pure. It was only sattva. So if you take God as a white circle, it was only sattva in the beginning. The absolute principle along with sattva guna that led to the formation of subtle akasha, the subtle elements, the subtle elements arose. Later on we have the gross elements. What we experienced around us are the gross elements, but the process to the gross was through the subtle. First, the absolute along with the sattva guna became subtle akasha. The absolute along with sattva guna and rajas and rajoguna became subtle vayu. The absolute along with sattva guna, rajoguna and tamoguna, all the three, became subtle agni. The absolute along with sattva, rajas, tamas and more tamas became subtle apaha, water. And subtle with sattva, rajas and tamas and a different proportion of tamas led to subtle earth, subtle prithvi. So that is how the intermingling of the absolute with the gunas led to the creation of the subtle elements. And that's what Bhagwan is telling. The eye awareness became three on account of contact with rajas and tamas. And all the jnanendriyas that we have, the five sense organs, Bhagwan explains how that happened. The subtle akasha, the subtle ether, along with sattva, led to hearing, the sense of hearing. The subtle element of air along with sattva led to the sense of touch, sparsha. The subtle agni, subtle fire along with sattva led to the element of seeing. The subtle water along with sattva led to the sense of taste. And subtle earth, subtle prithvi, along with sattva guna, led to the sense of smell. And all of these senses, hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling, are all associated with ear, skin, eye, tongue, nose, which are our gyanendriyas. So all of these faculties, sound, touch, sight, taste and smell, they all happen because of the sattva guna, the sattvic element mixing with the subtle elements, subtle air, subtle water, subtle ether, subtle fire. Therefore, all these five faculties that we have are the sattvic expressions of the five elements, Bhagavan says. They are actually the sattvic expressions, pious expressions of the five elements. Space is represented by sound, and the corresponding organ is ear. The ear can only hear. It cannot do any other function. The skin can only experience touch, and it is associated with the element of air, vayu. The eye is associated with the organ of fire. It can only see. While this is how the gyanendriyas came into being, the karmendriyas, the five organs of action that we have, their emergence happened when the subtle element, the subtle ether, air, fire, water and earth, when they intermingled with rajoguna. So the subtle ether along with rajoguna led to walk or the faculty of speech. The subtle air intermingling with the rajoguna led to hands. The subtle fire intermingling with rajoguna led to feet. Subtle water along with rajoguna led to the excretory system. Subtle earth along with rajoguna led to the reproductive system. So all these five elements, if you see, Bhagavan says, they are rajasic expressions of the five elements. So all the sense organs of sound, touch, sight, taste and smell, eye, ear, nose, they are all sattvic expressions of the five elements. And our hands and feet, our reproductory and excretory system, they are all rajasic expressions of the five elements. Swami says how space is represented by walk, by the faculty of speech. The fourth and fifth elements, water and earth, they find rajasic expression in excretal organs. And the five subtle elements. So we talked about how the five subtle elements with sattva-guna lead to the gyanendriyas. Five subtle elements along with rajaguna lead to the karmendriyas. The five subtle elements with more sattva-guna, they lead to the antakaranas. What are antakaranas? What are our internal organs? Our internal instruments are mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. Mind, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. Swami says the antakarana in man, they represent the sattvic quality found in the five elements. While all the sense organs, they are limited in their functionality, our antakarana, our mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara, they have the functions of all the five organs. In fact, we know that the eye cannot see on its own, isn't it? It is the mind. Mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. It is because of all these internal organs that the external organs are working. The external organs are meaningful. Because these internal organs alone have the capacity to perceive all the signals that are sent by the external organs. Human personality is a combination of these gyanendriyas, karmendriyas, sense organs concerned with the inner faculty of the senses, karmendriyas, the organs of action, and the antakaranas. Bhagavan says, in its sattvic aspect, the space or akasha expresses itself as ear. But the same subtle element, akasha, ether, in its rajasic aspect, expresses as walk, as speech. So, the subtle element of ether has two children, the ear representing sattva and the walk or faculty of speech representing rajas. The ear, which is the first child of ether, receives sounds coming from outside. The second child, the walk, responds from inside through the spoken word. Similarly, if you see the subtle element of air, the skin is the first child of air, and that is the sattvic aspect. The second child is the hand. As I said, karmendriyas and gyanendriyas. So Swami says, the sattvic quality consists in receiving impressions from outside. The rajasic quality consists in casting them what is not needed, like the excretory organs. What is to be taken in is the sattva guna, the sattvic aspects, and what is to be given out is the rajasic aspects. And how did the five gross elements come from the five subtle elements? So Bhagavan explains that the five subtle elements, the subtle air, water, ether, when they intermingled with tamas, a process happened which is called panchikritam. So what happened is the subtle akasha or the subtle element of ether split itself into two. Half of it remained what it was and the other half split itself into four parts, into 1/8 part each. And the same thing happened to all the five elements. The subtle vayu split itself into two, 50% as it was and 50% split into four parts. Same thing happened with subtle akasha, subtle agni, subtle vayu, subtle water, subtle earth. So all the subtle elements, 50% of each split into four parts. And then there was permutation and combination of these parts. So the subtle akasha, the subtle ether, 50% of it remained. But it now intermingled with 1/8 of vayu, 1/8 of agni, 1/8 of water, 1/8 of prithvi. So when that combination happened, that led to the formation of gross element of ether. So the subtle fire, for example, the subtle fire happened when, along with 50% of subtle fire, 1/8 of subtle vayu, 1/8 of subtle ether, 1/8 of subtle earth, and 1/8 of subtle akasha mixed, and that led to the formation of gross fire. So that is how, through this process which is called panchikritam, the subtle elements took the form of gross elements, and that led to creation. And I played for you how, once the five elements came into being, the five elements led to the creation. The five elements happened because the gunas, the sattva, rajas and tamas, mingled with the absolute. The whole chain of processes that happened, that is how creation happened. And that is what Bhagavan is telling in this chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarani. Bhagavan has not explained all this in detail in Sandeha Nivarani, but he has explained this during the summer course discourse in 1990. But here he has given us a clue where he says that the eye awareness became three on account of contact with rajas and tamas. And in those three, the five elements or five bhutas arose. And through those five, the creation happened. One became three, three became five, and five became innumerable. beings of this universe. In fact, there are many other discourses where Bhagavan has also explained in detail this emergence and the attributes of these five elements. In the year 2000, during the discourse that he gave on May 15th, Swami said, "All the objects on the surface of the earth, from mountains to the oceans, are firmly anchored by the unseen force of gravity. The gravity is the result of the will of God. The earth is a good example of the subtle aspects of the master plan of God. And the earth is suffused with that divine power. And that is the reason why the earth is a limb of God. Just like in our body, we have many limbs and organs like hands, the feet, eyes, etc. Every individual is a limb of society. And all these different societies are limbs of nature, and nature is a limb of God. Bhagavan used to mention how there is this cosmic connection between Shrishti, Parameshti, Samashti, Vyashti. Vyashti is the individual, which leads to Samashti, the society. Samashti leads to Shrishti, and Shrishti, creation, leads to Parameshti. Parameshti is the divine. That is why Swami says God pervades the entire universe in a subtle form. The earth is big, but God, who is infinite and the subtlest of all, suffuses the entire earth with his divine power, Swami says. And the earth has attributes. The earth is not independent. As long as these attributes exist, no one can be independent. If you look at all the five elements, Swami says the earth has all the qualities of sound, touch, form, taste and smell. The earth has the attributes of sound. You know, there is always sound in Mother Earth. You can touch Mother Earth. There is a form to Mother Earth. There is taste and there is smell. So since all these five attributes are there for earth, the gross earth, because of its attributes, it is bound and it is finite, Swami says. These attributes produce a binding effect, and that makes earth very limited when compared to other elements. Water, if you look at the next element, it is present everywhere on earth. Though at some places it is as moisture, as vapor. But compared to earth, water lacks smell. It is one attribute less. Water has sound, water has touch, water has form, water has taste. Because it is one attribute less, it is little more mobile. It has more mobility. It is more light and it can flow easily. Earth cannot flow. So as the attributes become less, these elements become lighter and lighter. The third element, fire. Fire has two attributes less compared to earth. Fire has sound, touch and form. But fire has no taste, fire has no smell. And therefore it is capable of spreading in many directions. It can go up. And fire in subtle aspect is present in humans. As Jatharagni, our digestion happens because of fire. Fire is also present in water. It is called Badhagni. Fire is latent in wood, in stones. That's why sparks emerge from stones. Sparks emerge from wood. If you go to the next element of air, the fourth element, it has only two attributes, sound and touch. You can only feel air, and there is sound because of air. And that's why air is present everywhere. Fire and water is not present everywhere. They are not present everywhere, but air is there everywhere because the attributes are less and less. It is more freedom. It is less bound. And the last in the list of elements is ether or akasha, which is truly all-pervasive, Swami says. It extends far beyond the earth. because it has only one attribute left, sound. Akasha is not the sky. Akasha is ether. It is present everywhere. The sole characteristic of ether is sound. Wherever there is sound, there is ether, and there is no place in this universe where there is no sound. Sound, as it is called nada, there is called anahata nada. There is sound that you can hear. There are sound frequencies that you and I cannot hear, but there is sound everywhere. Akasham gaganam sunyam. Akasha is the emptiness of space. It's present everywhere, though it cannot be seen. So the element of ether, which is the subtlest, because of having just one attribute, it is there everywhere. And Swami says, God is even beyond the five elements. It is more attributeless. It doesn't have even that single attribute of Akasha. So it is absolutely limitless. There's nothing binding on the principle of cosmic consciousness. Devoid of any attributes, it is there everywhere. Totally attributeless. Paramatma is more subtle than anything we can imagine and exists beyond space and time. Sarvata Panipadam Tat Sarvatoshi Siromukham, Bhagavan says. Hands and feet are everywhere in this creation, though God is beyond everything. Nevertheless, He suffuses all the five elements, investing them with appropriate aspects of divine power. But He Himself is without attributes. He is immanent in all entities with suitable attributes. That's why Lord Krishna says in the Gita, Mamevamso Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All beings in creation have originated from me. They are nothing but aspects of me. So all the five elements are aspects of God, His divinity, His supreme power. And in fact, it is for this reason that our ancients worshipped the five elements, revering them as aspects of God Almighty. You have Surya Namaskar, where you are offering your obeisance to Sun God. In India, you have the worship of elements happening so gloriously. You go to North India and you will find every village, every town worshipping the waters, worshipping Ganga, worshipping the rivers. We worship mountains, we worship rivers, we worship sun, we worship the moon, we worship the snakes, we worship the anthill. We worship everything because everything is sacred, everything is suffused with divine power. Mother Earth is Mother Goddess. The rivers are our goddesses. All the elements are deities. Whole creation is sacred. In fact, it is this attitude, this approach that will lead to opening up of the knowledge of the divine who is all-pervasive. Once we have this feeling of all-pervasiveness of the divine, everything around us is sacred. Everything we do becomes sacred. There is nothing that is unholy in creation. Everything that happens is inspired by the divine, is an act by the divine. Everything is good and holy and noble. Everything in creation is for a purpose. Suffering is good. Pain is welcome. Anything that is happening, it is only for experiencing God consciousness. This is good for me. This is good for me. That becomes the attitude once you are in this frame of mind. You treat praise and criticism the same way. You are calm even if people abuse you. And I think that is the experience. That is how all the enlightened masters feel. You tell them, when will the world become a better place? And they will say, who says the world is not a good place? It all depends on your drishti, your vision. Nothing is wrong in Srishti, as Bhagavan used to say. Nothing is wrong in creation. It all depends on your vision. So in this segment, Bhagwan reminds us of this whole element of I consciousness, which is Chidabhasa. Chidabhasa means I awareness, conditioned by the Chit Swami saying that one became three, the three became five, and the five became many. And in those three, the five bhutas elements arose. Bhagwan says, it is this that causes the illusion that the I is the body. It is these gunas, it is these attributes that make us believe that I is the body. And that is the illusion that one has to get rid of. And that is where all the spiritual energies, that is where all our sadhana is focused on. That is where all our practices ultimately lead to. Speaking in terms of akasha, Swami says there are three. There is chidakasha, chittakasha, bhutakasha. And when the bhakta asks, what is chidakasha? Bhagwan says, it is atma. What is chittakasha? Swami says, it is the reflection of the atma is chittakasha. That is to say, it is chittam. So, the reflection of the atma, chidakasha, akasha we know is ether. So, that I consciousness is chidakasha. The reflection of that is chittakasha. And when Swami says that chittakasha changes into manas, buddhi and amkara, it is antakarana. So basically that supreme consciousness is chittakasha. That is what is atma. The reflection of that atma leads to mind, buddhi and ahamkaram, which are the internal organs. Chidakasam, having the antakaranam, is the jiva. So when the atma's reflection leads to the formation of the mind, buddhi and ahamkara in human beings, that is when an individual soul or an individual being comes into existence. And this happens, Bhagwan says, it is because of the mind, it is because of the manokasam. Chidakasam conditioned by chittakasam, that is what is bhutakasam. So this bhutakasam is this elemental akasam, what we see around us, that is because of the mind. And that mind happens because of the reflection of the atma. So everything is because of the mind. And that's why Swami is telling, mind alone is the cause for bondage and liberation. Everything that we see is because the mind has manufactured. The mind can manufacture any amount of delusion. Everything is an illusion except the I consciousness. Everything is an illusion. And when the bhakta asks Swami, how can the delusion disappear? Swami says, when you grasp its secret through inquiry, when you understand that the many that you see around is nothing but five, because everything has emerged from the five. And what is this five? The five is nothing but the three gunas. And what is the three? The three is nothing but one. One, that I consciousness. Swami says, if you get a headache, you apply ointment, right? Same way, we have this delusion that I am the body. This delusion will disappear only with the ointment of inquiry, vichara. One has to inquire. Whatever is happening around, if you have to sit quiet and inquire, then we will know that everything is a drama. Everything is an illusion. Everything is so transient. But Swami says, not everyone will be able to do this inquiry. It's not possible for all. This is possible for those whose chitta has become ripe, Swami says. It is possible for those who have spent time in contemplating on the Atma. So when the devotee asks, "So Swami, then what should we do to reach that ripe stage?" Swami says, "Okay, so you have come back to where we started. It is for this process alone that I ask you to do japam, dhyanam, puja, pranayama. All these will help in reaching that stage. All these will help in conditioning yourself to reach the stage where you can do this inquiry, where you are able to, you are capable to understand this I principle by inquiry. You can inquire into reality. You will know that the Atma is not something different. You will know that everything is Atman. In fact, when we read the stories of saints like Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, you read accounts of how all of them had that experience, Paramahansa Yogananda. They had that experience where everything around just melted away into just one sea of consciousness. Paramahansa, Ramakrishna Paramahansa gave that experience to Vivekananda, where you saw that nothing exists. It's all, everything just melted into nothingness and everything became one. That's how once they experienced that principle of unity, that's when the awareness of reality got established in their hearts. And this comes only when you spend time doing spiritual practices, only when you focus your mind on the divine, only when you think of the supreme principle with undiluted attention. And that is what a japam will do. When we do japam, we have to concentrate. When we do dhyanam, we concentrate on that principle. When we do pranayama, through our breath we concentrate on that being. When we do Gayatri Mantra, we connect to that consciousness. So all of these activities, Swami is saying, will help you to reach that ripe stage where you can do this inquiry and then know that all is Brahman. Even as we sing bhajans, at least for a few moments we can live in this consciousness. We sing Brahmanda Nayaka Bhava. As we sing, we can think about how this whole cosmos is nothing but just one. When we sing Sayom, 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 Tanumanu Praname Sayom, you know, in my body, in my mind, in my life force is nothing but it's only one, one. Shayane Sapaname Sayom. Whether I'm dreaming, whether I'm wakeful state, dream state, deep sleep state, it is only one. Gagana Pavaname Sayom, in the ether, he's there. Wind, he's there. It's only one, it's only one. In birth and death, Janamu Maraname Sayom. Birth and death, it is one. I think we can use various sadhanas that Bhagavan has given us, be it japam, dhyanam, bhajan, to feel this oneness, at least for a few moments. If we can experience that, then we would prepare ourselves to make that inquiry, to be in that stage where we will feel that we are not bound by these limitations. In fact, as we go further in this chapter, Bhagavan gives us what is the best way of striving to reach this ripe stage, and we'll come to that in the coming episodes of Vaini Satsang. Today I want to leave you with that bhajan, a bhajan which will help us to feel that oneness, feel that cosmic consciousness in the whole universe. We think about Bhagavan. When we think about Bhagavan, we need to think about that supreme consciousness, that I principle, that Sat. And as we sing this bhajan, Brahmanda Nayaka Bhava, we can use these beautiful tools of bhajans to help us become ripe, help us mature in our spiritual sadhana, so that it becomes very easy for us to unravel this I consciousness and not identify ourselves with the body.
Brahmanda Nayaka Baba Paripuri चांदर सूरज तुमने बनाए दरिया सागर तुमने बनाए नदिया सागर तुमने बनाए परमेश्वर बाबा चांदर सूरज तुमने बनाए नदिया सागर तुमने बनाए नदिया सागर तुमने बनाए अयोध्या नगरी तुमने बनाई द्वारका नगरी तुमने बसाई बनाए शिरडी पर तुमने बनाए ब्रह्मांड नायक बाबा प्रतिपुरीश्वर
So dear listeners, we'll continue this in the coming episode of Vahini Satsang. There are many more beautiful secrets that Bhagwan has unveiled and also given us a very easy way to progress on this path of inquiry. And There are a few more segments in this chapter 10 of Sandhya Nivarani. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Whatever I share is the little understanding that I gathered reading Bhagwan's discourses. There is definitely so much more that Bhagwan has mentioned, and there is so much more to understand, assimilate, and there is huge gaps in our knowledge in trying to understand what Bhagwan has written. So if there is lacunae in whatever I have mentioned, please do forgive me, and please share your thoughts, your insights. There is so much that Bhagwan has mentioned, and when you read each of these things, it has to be understood in so many levels. The same thing when we read 10 years ago, when we had read, you know, we had some understanding. Today when we read, we get a better understanding. Probably if we read it after a few years, we will get much deeper insight. And depending on at what stage we are in our evolution, we understand and unravel what Bhagwan has mentioned. So whatever thoughts, whatever insights you have, please do share, and let us help each other and happily, joyfully walk in this journey of I to we to he. Thank you so much. Sayonara.